Colossians 1, 9 through 14. This is the prayer of the Apostle Paul. If you want to really learn how to pray, study his prayers. They are about solid spiritual things. Here's how he prays. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Every January, the President of the United States gives a message to the country called the State of the Union. And this is meant to review the condition of our country in many ways, economically, in education, in our relationship to the world, in many ways. He attempts to convey the condition of our country. Governors also do that in the states, to review the State of the Union, the position and the condition. Now, I personally do that continually. I'm continually thinking about the world, the relationship of nations, the conflicts that are going on. Presently, 26 wars are occurring. I review the condition of our nation, the condition of the churches of America, and my own life. And we do not know the future, but the Apostle Paul wrote that in the latter days there shall be perilous times. Well, we need to be equipped for life, for both good times and difficult times. So how do we Christians view life for now and the future? God has given us a very special resource, and that is by teaching us our position in Christ. And today, to live for whatever happens, we must know our position, and we must live there. And learn to live off the strength of our position, not our performance before him, which is so weak. So this morning we're going to get into this passage, which will review for us positional thinking, instead of wallowing in ourselves and our circumstances. What is our position before God? Now, it begins in verse 12. We are to give thanks to the Father who has. Now, these are things he has done. He has qualified us. He has delivered us. He has translated us. And he has redeemed us. That is the strength of our position. It is unchanging. It is eternal. And when we know that and live off of that, we live with glory to the Lord, regardless of circumstances. Now, we rightly ask the question concerning this being qualified. Why does God have to qualify us, we'll say, for heaven or for a relationship with Him? It's because we were not qualified. It's as simple as that. Ephesians explains that we are in spiritual death. That is our position, unless God changes it. We are condemned. We are separated from God. Our destiny is hell itself, unless there's a change. We were not qualified for God. Secondly, we could not qualify ourselves. There's nothing we could do to atone for our sin. It has to be done outside of us, and that is by the Lord only. Now, being qualified is the gift of His grace. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. It's by His selection, His election. It is unearned and undeserved. Now we rightly ask, what exactly is this qualification? How do you spell it out? What does it mean? And in this wonderful passage that does that for us, here is expositional teaching of the Scripture. It's right here. What is the qualification? Number one, He writes, it is deliverance from the power of darkness. Deliverance from the kingdom of darkness. Every unbeliever, every person who is not in Christ, lives under the power of darkness, ruled by Satan and his followers. And that's what the existence in hell will be like. It is darkness. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, and God is sending the plagues, one plague is that He sent darkness into the land of Egypt. But an interesting thing is that the Israelites were dwelling in a little section called Goshen. And I don't know whether you know this or not, but that's where that phrase came, land of Goshen. Everybody, you're all too young to hear that. I know about that phrase, land of Goshen. Well, the Israelites were there, and where they were was light. And all over Egypt was darkness. Darkness is a curse. And what God does is deliver us, which means rescue, which means save us from the power and the kingdom of darkness. What a grace that is. We live in the light because He has enabled us by faith to believe biblical truth. This morning we believe, because we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Now, you could take this same truth and take it to an unbeliever or a non-Christian. It would be meaningless. Can't comprehend it. Can't believe it. And we believe it because we've been delivered out from under that darkness. Now, the second thing about this qualification, it says here in verse 13, we have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, who of course is Christ. We have been moved from one kingdom to another, from the kingdom of unbelief to the kingdom of believing, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of Christ. Actually moved. actually picked up right out of one kingdom and placed into another. By the grace and power and glory of God, we are now into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's a transfer. It's a removal. It's a transmission. I was talking to one man one time about a missionary that went to Africa, and then he moved over to China. And a man said to me, would that be a transmission? Well, you could think of it in some ways that way. He moved. Now, this think it over, folks. It'll take a while, but it is an actual, literal move. It's a moving. God moved us. And I remember one time I had mentioned something about this, and that God yanked us right out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And Kelly came to me and said, would that make you a Yankee? Well, that's good thinking. And exactly what happened. And if God didn't yank forcibly, powerfully, take us from one to the other, we'd never get out. And He has placed us in this new position of being delivered and being transferred to the kingdom of His Son. Now, it also reveals to us that we have been partakers of the internal inheritance in verse 12. Partakers, what is that? That's a receiver. If you partake of something, you're receiving it. We have been made receivers of the eternal inheritance. And the Bible teaches us that we are joint heirs with Christ. All that He has, we share jointly. All believers. There is not a rank in heaven where some believers are higher than others. We are all joint heirs with Christ by virtue of His grace, by virtue of the position that He has given us. Now, all of these things give us our position this morning so that we will be enabled to live whatever circumstances prevail on this earth. Now, as far as our country is concerned, one of the main issues is the pressure from the United Nations to take away the sovereignty of the other countries and make everything global, particularly aimed at the United States, since we are the power that could confront them, to take away our economy and distribute it to third world nations to make it equal, to have a UN military power which could command our troops, to have a global world court which can try U.S. citizens and not under our sovereignty, to also control the environmental thing we talk about today, to tell us which parks are available, which land is public and which isn't. Many things like that. That's an issue that needs to be faced. And it's a serious thing if we give in to that pressure. Well, suppose it happens. What does the Christian do? Well, we could be in real trouble if we didn't know our position in Christ, and if we were not enabled to draw upon these great truths and live according to God's truth, not our own. So we have these things. We've been qualified in being delivered and being transferred and being made a receiver of the eternal inheritance. Now, in chapter 14, he gives us the basis for this. He has done this for us. This is our position, unchanging, eternal, ours. This is our position given to us. In verse 14, we have the basis upon which God does all of this. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The basis is redemption in Christ. We could say it simply, it is the cross. It is because of the cross, it is because of the bloodshed that God gives all this to us. It isn't because he's sentimental. It isn't because we may come weeping before him in prayer and he can just wink at our sin and bypass it. No, he did something about it. And you could almost say this. How does God himself qualify to forgive sinners? How can he do that without surrendering his own justice, his own holiness, to forgive rebellious, sinful human beings? By the basis of the cross. Because of the cross, God can do that freely, and he does that. And he's perfectly just and righteous in forgiving those who are in Christ, because an adequate penalty was paid. And it's a penalty we can't pay, and we must never question the adequacy of the death of Christ on the cross to pay for all of our sin, past, present, future, all there, with the forgiveness of sin. What a glorious, marvelous passage of Scripture to live by, to draw from, to wake up in the morning and understand that we're qualified to pray. We're qualified for relationship. We're qualified for heaven because of what he's done for us. Now, because we've been exposed to this passage of Scripture, there must be a response. Can't be ignored. Can't be considered without a serious response. How will you respond this morning? How will I? Well, the most obvious response is gratitude. If you can't give God gratitude and thanksgiving for this, there's something wrong within us. Appreciation and gratitude that grips the life, not just a passing 1 minute thank you here and there, but it's a way of life. If you live with gratitude, it'll be seen and known. You will know it, and so will others. And these truths are the empowerment for life. Living off the strength of our position before God. Not trying to crank it up on our own. Not trying to pump it up, but it's there for us to live for the Lord. Now, this is what pleases God. What could we do this morning to please God? Oh, we could teach Sunday school, we could sing in the choir, and we could be on a committee every night in our church. No. We please Him by being thankful, by appreciating what He's done, and by trusting Him for these great truths in His Word. Whatever activity flows out of that is incidental. It's being thankful rather than doing anything. So we pray this morning that God will use this passage of Scripture to teach us more about positional thinking and living off of that strength rather than our own performance, which is mainly weakness and failure. So let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this great revelation of truth. May it grip our hearts just now to live out our great position You have given us in Christ. We acknowledge our dependence upon the Holy Spirit to empower us and to cause us to believe and to use this passage for Your glory. And may we all leave here with this resource of our position in our hearts, on our minds, in our life. And help us to teach others of this great truth, that they may be enabled to live during hard times and during joyful times. Thank You for bringing us together this morning with an open Bible to consider the truth of Your Word. Do Your work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.